Imagine you are a building and every level is a part of your life. Some levels are easy and fun to visit, and we readily include others in them. Some levels are sacred, and we only allow a select few onto them or no one at all. I invite you to see God living and active on every single level. Welcome to 8 Stories Tall, the podcast that explores 8 levels of a person's life. I'm your host, Jason Tomlinson, and in this pilot season, we are featuring none other than my dad, Joe Tomlinson Jr. This episode really doesn't need an introduction, but I do want to mention one thing. As Dad and I were recording these sessions, we sat across from each other at his dining room table in the beginning, but at some point, I switched to sitting on the same side with him. As we listen to our friends and family members' stories, there is a natural closeness that is gained that is not gained any other way. If you want this for you and someone you love, I strongly encourage you to reach out and make it happen. I'm so glad I did. You have been working a long time. You worked a long time.
I suppose.
I have this long list of dates and places and names and details here. I started it in October of 1969, but that's a little bit misleading because it really begins in 63, but in some ways it begins even before that. But for the sake of this episode, we're going to start it in 69 because that's when you finished your BA at Lipscomb.
That'd be a good beginning place.
Yeah.
But like you said, I've been involved in local church ministry and even world evangelism for a long time. Mm-hmm. But 69, mm-hmm. I graduated Lipscomb with a BA in religious education and Bible. I had a double major.
Yeah. How did you find out about the job to be the associate minister at the Broad Street Church in Cookeville?
I was driving a friend's Volkswagen to Los Angeles, and I had stopped to visit friends in Abilene. And John Allen Chalk said Broad Street was looking for an associate minister, song leading, working with the young people. And he said, they know you, and you know them. He said, I'll recommend you if you're interested. And I was.
Terrific. Is that where we discovered that somebody had written a poem about you?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm going to share this.
Mm.
I'm going to share this. I believe this is the case. Dedicated to Joe Tomlinson. This is, I believe, from his Broad Street days. And if it's not from the Broad Street days, it's close. It describes you as a fair-haired youth. A fair-haired youth with a smiling face has made our church a better place. He has taught each girl and boy in the Christian life there is joy. Of all the efforts put forth by our men, none has filled the place of Joe from Nashville 10. Youth is the future of the church today. Thanks be to God for sending Joe to prepare the way. And that was by a youth member named Sue Yates.
Oh. Sue was in my youth group in the Central Church in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
The summers of 65 and the summers of 66.
Okay. So we're kind of leading into. So, right. So this was the spirit that you would have carried,
wow,
certainly at that time.
Wow.
you got married, and you and mom, as newlyweds, did mission work in Fiji, and you were in Fiji from May of 1970 to November of that same year. And what was going on? Why was it only 6 months there?
The elders at Central, they had believed somebody's evaluation of me, and they had requested my return. They were not very specific. We were learning the language. Mm-hmm. An older couple had moved in with us without our say-so. We were just being nice, but I thought they were just going to be there for a short time. They were on the way to New Zealand.
Right.
But they wound up staying with us, and I wound up later that they were against the Central Church even sending us.
Huh.
And that didn't even know us.
Yeah.
So mix up of communication.
Yeah.
And but we were learning the Fijian language. We were learning the Peace Corps way.
Yeah.
SOVA was teaching us in our home. We didn't even. It was really a marvelous way to learn a language.
I'm sure. You came back. And I didn't ask you about this earlier, but you came back from Fiji, a tropical island, to the winter's chill of Nashville in November of 70. Do you remember kind of that climate shock? We talk about culture shock. This is climate shock.
Well, of course, I had grown up in Nashville, so I was used to wintertime and snow. I remember the blizzard of 1951.
Yeah.
Daddy couldn't get the car out of the garage, and Mother made snow ice cream. It really shut down Nashville and Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I was just unemployed. I would say my next local church assignment was at the Pennington Bend Church in January. Some of those people I had grown up with in the old Reed Avenue congregation.
Did Reed Avenue exist by early 71 still?
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
When, just on a side note, when did Reed Avenue cease to exist?
I forgot the last year they were, that the interstate came through there and took the property and the building, and most of that money went into a Marshall Keeble fund for students at Lipscomb College.
Okay.
I think the last preacher there might have been Dennis Lloyd, I'm not sure.
And then all the people from Reed Avenue at that time just went to other churches?
Other congregations, my grandmother and my parents went to Brentwood Hills.
Okay.
Some went to Creve Hall, some went to Lawrence Avenue. Although Lawrence Avenue eventually became a predominantly black congregation, but
sure.
That's where I started kindergarten as a child.
Wow.
And then, of course, Lawrence Avenue became Concord Road.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you're at Pennington Bend just for about 4 months.
That is correct.
What happened there?
Breakdown in relationships and communication. I was still really disappointed that we were learning the language. We were getting the church on... we were getting a permanent visa for the work there in SUVA.
Well, I'm talking about Pennington Bend.
Right. Well, Pennington Bend, the breakdown in communication and relationships.
Okay.
It was nothing particularly. Maybe I was a round person in a square peg.
Sure.
But nothing of real consequence. A young man read the Bible irreverently publicly, and I got on to him, and I got in trouble over that, but nothing consequential.
Right. So that summer of 71, you and Mom go to Abilene, and you're going to get your teaching license, but then you got a phone call from Middle Tennessee Christian School in Murfreesboro, and they had a job for you. So you came back to Tennessee.
As a Bible teacher.
You came back to Tennessee, but you never taught Bible. What happened there?
Well, they had hired it to somebody else.
Okay.
Mix up of communications. I was qualified. They knew me.
Yeah.
But somebody had made the job offer to somebody else.
Okay.
So that's a case of too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Right, yeah. So remind us who believed in you and said, Joe, I'll help you financially to go back to grad school in the fall of 71.
Well, the Vermilions, who had married us,
yeah,
promised about $100 a month for 17 months. And I was offered a one-half tuition scholarship to work on my 90-hour Master of Theology
degree. Master of Theology. But who, you weren't looking to go to grad school. Who suggested it to you?
No, I had been looking at it, okay, because we had thought about doing Bible translation work in New Guinea.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or other places. Yeah. There are many places where the Bible hadn't gone.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, a church in Calhoun, Georgia, that Marlon Conley had recommended,
yeah,
me for, had offered me a job in preaching in Calhoun, Georgia.
Yeah.
And it was hard to turn it down, but I did, to go back to graduate school, start graduate school,
gotcha,
training, and I'm glad I made that decision, though I love the church in Calhoun, Georgia.
Yeah. So from 71, the fall of 71 until 73, y'all are living in Memphis. This is the period of time where you became a father.
Right.
Daniel was born in Memphis in October of 72.
Right, October 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And then you heard about this opportunity in Homestead, Florida, with the Atlantic Christian School. What did you do there?
Well, I contacted Larry Hood, the superintendent of Atlantic Christian Schools, and they needed a fifth and sixth grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about the job, and I thought I could handle that. I remember I said I'll need some help on moving there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in school at Middle Tennessee State University. I don't think I had a scholarship, but I had straight A's. I was a very good student there.
Yeah.
And Larry Hood sent me $700 to move to Homestead.
Wow.
Which is 30 miles south of Miami.
Yeah.
And so we were teaching 16 fifth and sixth grade students. Great, yeah, experience.
That's great. And you were there for
1 year.
One year.
They offered me another job at the Hialeah branch to be the basketball coach and Bible teacher of the high school.
Yeah.
But I decided to accept a job offer in Dyer, Tennessee, which is Gibson County. That's West Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I moved there, and I was going to finish my 90-hour Master of Theology program while I was preaching at Dyer.
Okay. And you did that.
I did.
So when you were living in Dyer, were you commuting over to Memphis?
Yes.
Okay. What is that, like an hour commute?
I think it was probably 2 hours, just rounded up.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, and I usually stayed with either Edward Short or Enoch Thwaite.
And they were both living in Memphis.
That is correct. They were working on their master's degree. They were on furlough from their work in China.
Okay.
Taiwan, I should say.
Okay, okay. So that's what you're doing up until, what, December of 76?
Actually, I moved from Dyer in August of 75 back to Harding Graduate School's Harding Brewer campus.
Okay, okay.
And so from August of 75 to December of 76,
yeah,
I was a full-time graduate student,
okay,
finishing up my 90-hour degree.
Yeah.
And I was preaching and doing fill-in work, and the Vermilions were helping us about $100 a month.
Right. Right.
Very generous. And
oh, well, we should mention, sorry, Joel. Joel was born, of course, in Homestead, Florida, May of 74.
Right.
So when you move, you're moving your family of four. Was it campus housing?
No, it was, stayed at Harding Brewer 101,
yeah,
and then at 103,
yeah,
we had Daniel and Joel,
yeah, right? And you're preaching where you can,
right,
you know, doing other work where you can,
yeah,
but then at the end of your time there, you found out about mission work in Guam.
A wonderful thing about that, Roy Zacharias was a missionary preacher had been military.
Okay.
And we contacted each other, and the church there started supporting us in graduate school in June of 1976.
Okay.
And so they were sending us $400 a month in graduate school, which was a lot for a graduate student, until we got to Guam, which would have been January the 5th, 1977.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you picked up another traveler while you were in Guam.
Jason Tomlinson, Jason Phillip.
Yeah, that's one of my most favorite things to tell people.
Well, you were born in an Adventist hospital, and they gave us 35% discount, even though we weren't Seventh-day Adventists.
Right, right.
But, of course, I can see you. We brought you home.
Yeah.
And your two brothers just thought you were the cat's pajamas.
They were right.
Yeah, they were right. You were such a handsome baby.
That's good. That's good. So you are moving and multiplying, folks. Just to sum up, so within Mom and Dad's basically first 8 years of marriage, let me just give the roll call here: Fiji, Nashville, Abilene, Murfreesboro, Memphis, Homestead, Florida, Dyer, Tennessee. And then Agana, Guam. That is the first 8 years of your marriage. Three boys and many, many, many miles. It's a lot of miles. It's a lot of miles. Did support run out in Guam? They had support for you for 1 year?
It did.
Okay.
It's very expensive to live in the Pacific.
Right.
Guam especially.
Yeah.
Everything is shipped in. Right. It's a military. It is an American territory.
Right.
So America owns Guam since World War II.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, it was a case of just not having support. They gave us severance pay for about 3 months. We thought about going and working with Joe Cannon in New Guinea. At the time, I thought maybe since he was just had baby Jason, maybe we should go back and start from scratch, which is what we did.
Yeah.
But we sort of regret not going over to New Guinea and working with Joe and Rosabelle Cannon.
Yeah.
We had worked with them. I had worked with them in the summer of 67, and Joe Cannon and his family and I were close.
Yeah. So you get back to the States in January of 78 with three boys in tow, and you were, help me remember, what were you doing in Murfreesboro from January to August of 78?
Oh, let's see. You need to ask that again because I lost the...
What were you doing in Murfreesboro from January to August of 78. This will be before you moved to Hollywood, Florida.
Well, having a little trouble.
Yeah.
Let's see. We were in Murfreesboro until we moved the first time to Homestead, Florida.
Right. But this is after that.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't go to Hollywood at the Driftwood Church until August of 78, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Let's see. We had moved to Murfreesboro and was staying at a house owned by the Hamilton Drive Church.
Okay.
And Bruce Wagner, my friend, was the preacher there.
Yeah.
And I remember Harvey Floyd came and lectured on Romans during Vacation Bible School.
Wow.
And, of course, he had been one of my teachers and really more of a colleague at Lipscomb.
Yeah. And what were you doing for work?
Just preaching as I could find places to fill in and living off the charity of good friends and my parents.
Yeah, certainly. So you found preaching work and you went to the Driftwood Church of Christ.
I actually had two jobs.
Okay.
I was the preacher. at the Driftwood Church in Hollywood, Florida, and I was the sixth grade teacher for Atlantic Christian School. The church furnished us a house.
Oh, wait, you were at Atlantic Christian School in Hollywood as well?
I was the teacher at Hialeah Branch.
Okay.
And that's where I taught sixth grade and where I met Max Lucado, who was working with the Central Church, and Doug Kostowski, who was with the Central Church. Right. But I was up in Lauderdale. Hollywood is between Fort Lauderdale and Miami.
Right, right.
And so I was the preacher and teacher of the Driftwood Church, and then I taught sixth grade Atlantic Christian School.
Okay. I don't know if I realized this. You were at two different branches of the Atlantic Christian School.
That is correct. 73-74, I was at the Homestead branch as an elementary teacher. And then the second time I was there, I was an elementary teacher. I also helped them to develop a Bible curriculum, which I had printed up.
Okay.
And that would have been from 78 to 80.
Yeah, okay. And then why did that time with the Driftwood Church and Atlantic, why did that conclude?
Well, I made my share of mistakes, nothing serious.
Yeah.
I think I got impatient with a leaderless church that just wanted to keep house for the Lord, and I was ready to move on, and they weren't.
Okay.
And so I kind of, I guess I was too selfish. I don't know. I don't know the reason.
Gotcha.
But whatever, the Lord tolerates human problems.
I'll say. I'm counting on it. You found another preaching job at the Springdale Road Church of Christ in Helena, Arkansas.
Right.
And you were there for 1 year.
Yeah, the elders, there were three elders there, but they kept their conflicts from me.
Okay.
And that finally fell apart.
I gotcha.
So sometimes brethren are not truthful with you.
Sure.
But I kind of understand all of that.
Yeah.
Relationships are very challenging for most of us.
That's true. And one thing we haven't spoken about is we have a lot of small local churches, and these are all for somebody that is unfamiliar with the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is a non-denominational body. All of the churches are fairly autonomous,
independent
in terms of leadership. Although there are certain expectations that go with having Church of Christ, being a Church of Christ proper. Right.
Right.
But so to say, autonomous to a point.
Well, there's no central headquarters telling.
Correct. Correct.
That's the point. There is no central headquarters. Our the headquarters of the Church of Christ is in heaven.
There you go.
And mediated through Scripture.
Right.
And
so
the Salt Lake City is the headquarters of the Mormons.
Right.
And the Vatican City is the headquarters of the Roman Catholic tradition.
Right.
We don't have such a place.
No, there's not. All of these churches, none of them are very large. I mean, we're talking about congregations of what? No larger than 300?
No, it wouldn't be that large. The average Church of Christ at this time would be 92 members.
Okay, but like in terms of your experience at Driftwood and Springdale and Dyer and all these places, we're all talking about smaller congregations.
I would say probably 100 or less.
100, okay.
Although there are some exceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at one congregation in Holly Hill, they had several hundred.
Right, and we'll get there in just a second. Uh-huh. In 81 to 83, you found yourself at the Hoxie Church of Christ in Hoxie, Kansas, and you were the was your title the preaching minister there, pulpit minister?
Yeah, I was the evangelist, the preacher, minister.
Yeah.
All those terms describe who is your regular pulpit preacher.
Yeah.
Who visit the sick and marry, visit the sick and bury the dead.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the guy. And that was a small church in a very small town. That would have been where, I want to say, Daniel started kindergarten. Maybe even earlier, I'm not for sure. I'll have to ask him. With Hoxie, your time there came to an end in 1983. What was the reason that your time came to an end there?
When we went to Hoxie, they said they had enough money to support us for a year.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell us that really up front. We found out their trust fund, somebody left the church a lot of money.
Yeah.
And after 1 year, it was all gone.
Yeah.
So we did substitute teaching and found other places to preach.
Okay.
Sometimes brethren don't tell you the...
Yeah.
Whole truth.
Yeah.
But we were trusting God in the whole business.
Oh, absolutely. Then you found work even further west in the San Joaquin Valley in Dinuba, California, which if you don't know where Dinuba is, we used to go to Fresno for fun. We would go to Fresno for fun, where Daniel LaRusso would eventually wind up moving to Fresno. Anyways, this is a Karate Kid reference. We were in Dinuba, California from 83 to 85, and your time there came to an end because you got a really good offer from the Holly Hill Church of Christ in Daytona Beach. Is that right?
That is, let me see. Oh, that's... Dinuba, that is correct. Dinuba to Holly Hill, which is a suburb of Daytona Beach. You actually have three towns there in Volusia County. Ormond, Daytona Beach, and Holly Hill. It's all in Volusia. That is correct.
County,
An elder, Lee Pettit, called me and said, do I do expository preaching? And I said, that's what I try to do.
Yeah.
And he invited me and... We had a wonderful relationship there. Yeah.
Oh, I failed to mention, when you were in Helena, of course, for 1 year, you picked up another passenger, Jeremy, your fourth born son.
Yes.
My little brother was born in Helena, Arkansas. And so when we got to Hoxie, you know, you're walking in with these six Tomlinsons, we probably increased the church attendance by 25% just by showing up with the six of us.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And similar in Dinuba, of course. Dinuba is where yours truly would have started kindergarten. And then we moved. We literally, folks, if you're keeping score here, we drove as a family in the 1984 Dodge Ram van, which is in itself its own legend and family member of our family. We drove quite literally from Dinuba, California to Daytona Beach, Florida, the six of us together. I have memories around that move.
We bought that 84 Dodge B250 Royal Prospector for $16,000 and found it in Visalia, south of Dinuba. My parents helped me afford that.
Mm-hmm.
We kept it to 300,000 miles. Best car I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. I can echo that. You got to the Holly Hill Church of Christ in Daytona Beach, and you were only at the Holly Hill Church for 1 year.
Well, we lived in Holly Hill for 2 years.
Correct, correct.
And my first trip to the Holy Land was also made in 1985 in August.
Yeah.
With Dr. Jack Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. So, there was a breakdown with church leadership at Hollywood.
Yeah, there were three elders and they fell apart.
Yeah.
And one of the other ministers got into a conflict with one of the elders.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
Through no fault of my own, I might add.
Certainly. And up until that time, you're at the Holly Hill Church, that was the largest congregation you would have worked at up until that time. Would that be correct?
I would say so.
Because they had, 300 to 500?
No, I'd say more like
150 to 250.
Oh, okay. That's what I would say.
I was a little guy, so this is second, third grade. Second, third grade for me. So everything seems bigger when you're small.
Right.
But then, even though you were at Holly Hill for 1 year, we stayed in the area for 2 years. You preached at the Crystal River Church of Christ.
Right. Oh, yeah. I had a good ministry there.
Yeah.
That was over on the Gulf side, of course.
Okay. What was the commute like from Holly Hill to
Crystal River? About 2 hours. And
one way?
I believe so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know.
So you did that for a year, or close to a year?
Yeah, close to a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Those people really welcomed my teaching and preaching. I remember they had never studied Romans, and so we took quite a long tour through Romans.
Yeah, yeah. You went back to Middle Tennessee after being all over the United States and partly the world for 1 year in Lebanon. At first, we lived with Aunt Sue, but then we found housing in Lebanon.
Martin Avenue,
just a block or two blocks away from right. Cumberland, then college, university now.
Yes.
And so we're back in really Mom's roots and not far from your roots. I have memories of going to more than one Lipscomb basketball game because David Lipscomb College...
Happy great Don Meyer.
Their 87-88 basketball season is the stuff of legend, am I right?
Yeah, Don Meyer was a great personal friend.
Yeah.
And he had all of you boys at basketball camp.
Well, not all of us.
Not all of us. You didn't go, but the rest of them.
Jerry didn't
maybe,
go.
I don't He's, guess Jeremy had so that experience.
Daniel and Joel did.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping they would maybe... make the varsity, but they didn't seem to have the interest there.
Yeah, not just you.
Well, I didn't either. I played intramural ball.
Yeah. With the 1 year in Lebanon, you had a short amount of time where you worked at Walmart. You did some preaching here and there.
And I was trying out for a lot of places.
Right.
I could have moved to Maryland, Vermont, or Kansas, and I picked Kansas.
Yeah. South Dakota would be next.
That is correct. Yeah. That's right. We went from Lebanon. There were a lot of hoops to jump through. They had more questions.
Yeah.
They, anyway.
Yeah. So, folks, we moved from Tennessee to Brookings, South Dakota, but the financial support for the work that we did in South Dakota came out of the Southeast Church
in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had invested a lot of time and effort, and they told me up front, we'll support you for 1 year.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't blame you for not going, but I decided to go.
Decided to go.
You know, nobody has any promise even of a tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I met some great friends of mine when we lived in South Dakota, and that's a really sweet spot for me in a large way. In fact, it was in South Dakota where Joel and I both gave our lives to Jesus. We were baptized at the Brookings Church of Christ December 4th, 1988, and there was no heater in the South Dakota baptistry.
Right.
So that support ran out, and how did you find out about teaching Bible at Valley Christian Academy in Burton, Michigan?
Well, let's see. I forgot exactly where.
Yeah.
You have a network of friends.
Yeah.
And there's tabloids.
Yeah.
And they had known of me from the past. They had been interested in me in the past. Okay. Gary Turner was the president of Valley Christian Academy.
Right.
And had been a teacher and a principal, and he was a Lipscomb graduate.
Oh, did you know him?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I knew his family, his wife and mother and his sweet children.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And anyway, somebody, Devereaux, I think, contacted me.
Yeah.
And Chuck Devereaux, who was chairman of the school board.
Yeah.
And said, we'd be interested in interviewing you for a Bible teaching position in the high school.
Yeah.
And I helped them develop their Bible curriculum in addition to that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bristol Road Church supported me in that.
Yeah.
And then there was another parting of the ways after a year's work.
Yeah.
You got a lot of relationships, a lot of expectations. There's a lot of potential for conflict.
Yeah, yeah. So you...
But I stayed on in Michigan for another 4 years being a substitute teacher for Flint.
Yeah.
And helping small churches all over the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah. Not the Upper Peninsula.
Well, that's what I call it.
The Upper Peninsula is like way far away.
Well, when you're at Flint, there's Saginaw, and then there's Bay City,
and
then there's Gilroy, and then of course you're up there at the.
So, because the UP that's above Wisconsin.
Yeah, I guess I've got a bigger upper UP. I got a bigger UP.
Yeah. After VCA, you worked for the Clio at Church of Christ, and you would have been there for 2 or 3 years.
I don't know how many years because.
It all runs it together.
It was, yeah. They
in the 90s.
They supported me, and then they had to drop the salary, and I had to make other adjustments.
Yeah. And eventually, near the end of your time in Michigan, you filled in at the Bay City Church of Christ.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For a time. Yeah. A funny, funny memory I have of the Bay City Church of Christ is taking our little television, maybe even a black and white TV, and we one Sunday afternoon, and I don't remember if it was just me and Jeremy and you and Mom or who all was there. I was there, and we set the TV on the communion table and just turned the auditorium into our Sunday afternoon living room.
Yeah, nobody invited us home, and I think we were pretty happy there in the church building.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we'd drive back.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Oh, the things. As we go, your parents, their health is declining. You have a growing concern for your Aunt Sue as well. So we were looking to get back down south from Burton to Nashville. It's roughly a 12-hour drive. Which is doable, but it's not great. So we moved. How did you find out about the work? What was the name of the church in Blytheville, Arkansas?
Northside Church of Christ.
It was Northside Church of Christ, yeah. And you would have been there for 1 year again. Just some weirdness with church leadership. I know that the situation that you came into was difficult from the start because of the way that the preacher before you had finished.
Right.
Yeah. I was getting older and old enough to understand a few things about just churches. Then you found the McCrory Church of Christ, not terribly far from Blytheville, but it was more centrally located.
They really seemed to want me too. Yeah. I had been debating whether or not to move back to Nashville to help my aging parents and my aunt. And I talked to my daddy about that. But I went on and made a hard decision just to go work in McCrory, Arkansas. We lived at Patterson, down the street from Searcy and Ball Knob.
Right.
on Highway 64.
Right, right.
For those that like maps.
Oh, yeah. And I've got some pleasant memories, of course. I finished high school in McCrory, and McCrory would be the place that I would come back to after being a freshman myself at Lipscomb. The way that you finished at McCrory was that the practice of the church, kind of the way they wanted to budget their ministries, was that they went with a full-time youth ministry and a part-time pulpit. So
right.
You found yourself looking for work again, and you found work at the Washington Street Church of Christ in Fayetteville, Tennessee, which is a lot. This we're talking about maybe 2 hours south of Nashville.
Not quite that far.
Yeah, not quite 2 hours.
Right, but right. In Lincoln County.
Lincoln County.
Closer to Huntsville, Alabama than Nashville.
Right, right.
But at least close to Nashville. And, of course, my dad died in 1997, the year that we moved to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Very grateful. We became first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
And had a lot of meaningful relationships, even now.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly.
One of my most significant baptisms was a young man who had been guilty of a criminal felony.
Right.
And he had been reading articles that I had been publishing in the church directory, and he wrote me a letter and said he wanted to be immersed into Christ. I thought it was a joke, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
And so one Saturday afternoon, the deputy sheriff brought him down to for me to baptize him. It was a
strong.
He has a great ministry behind prison walls in Clifton, Tennessee.
Yeah, really strong, really strong. Unfortunately, the end of your ministry at Washington Street was kind of rough. The three or four elders at that church.
Well, when I went there, let's say, there were three elders, and then they added elders.
Yeah.
Mike George had been added.
Yeah.
And maybe another man. They might have had five.
Okay.
They just felt like their word for it was the chemistry wasn't right.
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
That was kind of news to me. I had had a flu. I'd lost a lot of weight and had the flu for about 2 months, so I hadn't been able to work.
Yeah.
And when I went back, that's when they met with me and said they had made some hard decisions, that they knew I was sound in the faith and had a good marriage and all of that. So they basically said, you need to look elsewhere. And they gave me a 3 month severance pay.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was disappointed because I.
Yeah.
But I'm in the hands of the Lord, and I'm not trying to be the hero here. That works for me.
Yeah.
And.
I know that the end of your time at Washington Street was particularly hard for me, particularly hard for Daniel.
Yeah. Well.
And I remember. I remember it was particularly hard for Jeremy and Joel too.
But all of you got over that. You know, this is I think you did.
Yeah.
It would have been different if I had been more temperamental and more upset.
Yeah.
But people are fickle.
Yeah.
And you make mistakes, and sometimes people are forgiving and sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're caught in between.
Yeah.
And they want to please others.
Yeah. When, what month were you let go in 2001?
I guess it would have been right after early January.
Okay.
Because they had called me back. They had wanted to meet with me. And I had gotten away Sunday night. And they called me at home and said, can you come back to the building? We need to meet with you.
Yeah.
And so... that's where it was.
Yeah. And you relocated to this house that we're in
August of 2001.
So it took you 8 months to kind of close up shop.
I had to sell my house in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
And that worked out well for us. We had a lot of help from good Christian people.
Yeah.
And I was also doing some preaching whenever I could find. There are a lot of congregations there that need help and they can't support a man full time, so I'm staying pretty busy helping build up people's faith and walk with God.
Certainly. When you came here to Nashville to live in August of 01, how soon after did you start preaching at Eastview?
I would say just a few months. I just, maybe November, December, okay. January. Okay. Dr. Choate had been a Bible professor at Lipscomb, and he had also been my local church preacher at Reed Avenue growing up. I'd been a child, and he used to preach at Eastview, and he was still attending as an older, retired college professor.
And Dr. Choate, would he have been at Reed Avenue after Damon Daniel?
Yeah, before. He came after Mack Wayne Craig.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember him as early as age 7 or 8 years old when he came.
Wow. And you were at Eastview for 2 or 3 years?
2 years, I would say.
And logistically, this is a part-time
That is correct. Yeah, it's a very small church.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you're...
It used to be a large one, but that neighborhood had changed.
Yeah.
And people had moved out and moved in. It was...
And this is over there by Titan Stadium?
That is correct. That's kind of... Parts of that town is pretty rough.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of unstable homes there.
You're, in addition to preaching at Eastview, you would have been subbing in...
Absolutely, yes.
Metro Nashville
Public Schools. Yeah, I had a good experience most of the time.
And sometimes you were even able to... I know you were able to sub for long-term in the library. What school was that?
Hunter's Lane High School. Hired me as a media specialist.
Yeah.
A librarian, that's what I was.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that for about 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. That's most of the school year. Your time at Eastview came to an end. And what ended your time at Eastview?
I think it was mutual.
Okay.
They wanted something that I couldn't deliver.
Yeah.
And they were not willing. I had another idea, and they weren't willing to go along with that.
Yeah. So, quite literally, just down the road, right, you found the 11th Street Church.
Yeah, place. Edward Short said, Joe, I think you'd do well at 11th Street. Yeah. And they had three elders.
Yeah.
And I made contact with them. They made contact with me. And so I was there for about 3 years, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, we started with the Natchez Trace Church just as a member. But I was available to preach. They had preachers.
Yeah.
Terry Briley and Philip Camp.
Right.
And at the time, Holloway was there.
Right. And you, a moment ago when we were talking with Mom, you said that the end, you were semi-retired after Washington Street, and then you were fully retired after 11th Street.
What is retirement?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have regular office hours.
Right.
But I'm still studying, and I visit the sick and try to find Bible studies with people and write.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of thinking, a lot of praying. A lot of parts of my work is intercessory prayer.
Yeah.
I like to write for Power for Today.
Yeah, you've allowed your voice to be captured for the premiere season of this podcast.
Yeah, I'm into podcasting too. Thank you, Jason.
We have filled up a lot of air time, not even necessarily unpacking any of these experiences, but we've just rattled off this long, significant list that in your 51 years of marriage, I'm just going to give for the folks at home listening to this, guys, for my parents have been married 51 years and some change. Listen to this. Okay, y'all ready? Okay, if you're not buckled up, buckle up. Fiji, Nashville, Memphis, Homestead, Florida, Dyer, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, Agana, Guam, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Hollywood, Florida, Helena, Arkansas, Hoxie, Kansas, Dinuba, California, Daytona Beach, Florida, Lebanon, Tennessee, Brookings, South Dakota, Burton, Michigan, Blytheville, Arkansas, McCrory, Arkansas, Fayetteville, Tennessee, and finally, since 2001, so you've literally been in this house, this when we release this, it'll be September, so you will have been in this house for 20 years. So I see what you're saying. So
ministry.
If you
start from there.
Yeah.
And we've been married 51 years.
Yeah. I don't know if you can, you might want to put instead of, so he's got it 1969 to 2021. In some ways it might be more correct to say what 2000, when did you finish at 11th Street?
I guess 2009.
Yeah, so 69 to 09, what is that?
Well, let's see, 2009 to 1969,
yeah.
Zero and six, that's 40 years.
Yeah, so 40 years, but that number is somewhat misleading.
That's a good number to remember.
Yeah, so 40 years. I would be interested to total all the miles. I am 43 years old, and I totaled up all the miles that I have spent my life. It's pretty wild. I'll come up with the mileage number for you and let you know what it is.
Okay.
As the crow flies, because we're crossing not only state lines but also oceans. We're crossing oceans.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Well, three trips to the Holy Land.
Well, yeah, and I can't even count that just
right,
yet.
Right.
And
boy, things have changed. The last trip I went to was in 2000.
Yeah, it was a minute ago.
Right. Oh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for hanging with us for so long. This is the longest episode, and it will be the longest episode of this season. You are now a grad level expert on the Tomlinson family. If you are still hanging with us, thank you. You know, I used to say and think that growing up all over the place was a great asset. Then, I used to say that growing up all over the place was a great liability. Now, I say it's a bit of both. There are inherent advantages and challenges to being raised this way. And at some point, when I'm in the hot seat for 8 stories tall, we can unpack that and a whole lot more. Now, looking forward to next week, I do hope you'll come back and finish season 1 as Dad and I talk about
parenting. It's a sweet finish, and you won't want to miss it. Until then, thank you for listening, and don't forget to stand tall.